RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit thetford.com.
And by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com. And by Campgrounds of America. To find out what's behind the yellow sign, visit KOA.com or download the free KOA app today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about the most basic decision that every RV owner must make. Should I buy a towable or a motorized rig? In honor of RV shopping season, we decided to dive deep into this topic and discuss all the important questions buyers should ask before making a purchase.
So we invited Joshua Winters, a.k.a. Josh the RV Nerd, back on the show to help us talk through this very important question. Whether you are a first-time buyer stuck on this issue or a longtime trailer owner looking through the window of the motorized candy shop, this show is for you.
You might think it's all about the budget when deciding what type of RV to buy, but we know there are a lot of other questions you should be asking yourself. You are listening to episode number 125, Towables vs. Motorized, with Josh, the RV Nerd.
Before we head into this week's feature topic, Towables versus Motorized with Josh the RV Nerd, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
Jayco's J-Feather is easy to tow, easy to set up, and adapts to provide a comfortable retreat for you and your favorite camping companions. Available in 7-foot and 8-foot wide models, it's the centerpiece of a campsite that everyone will enjoy and comes with the peace of mind of Jayco's 2-year limited warranty. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
But Jayco makes really nice motorhomes too. So do we go towable or motorized?
What do we do?
I'll take a Greyhawk. I'll take a Precept.
I know. You will.
Take a Red Hawk.
I don't know that
I would. I'll take a Seneca.
All right.
That's
we'll
what
say.
I'll take.
We'll say.
Okay.
So we have generations of family fun to figure this out.
Well, you know what the nice thing is about Jayco? They have a complete lineup.
Okay. All right.
So check them out
That's
at jayco.com. Now, we are at the Florida RV Super Show if you're listening to this, okay? We're releasing this on January 19th, and we are in sunny Florida. Come say hi and drop us a line on social media. We would love to say hello to any podcast listeners out there. Contact us on Facebook, Instagram, email, yell really loudly.
Yeah, just
okay?
scream.
Okay. Scream.
Yeah, say, okay. Hey! The very first time we ever got recognized was at an RV show.
Someone recognized our voices from the podcast because we were being loudmouths.
They said, we were the live little campers then. And they said, the live little campers. And we
We were in charge of the lively little campers then. I don't think you and I were ever the lively little campers.
All right.
Okay.
So anyway, we thought that this was the perfect episode to release on a weekend that many people are at RV shows and they're doing shoppings, right? They're deciding between towables, they're deciding between motorized. And that, you know, if you are at that point where you're not even sure what direction you're going to go in yet, this is a good starting point for you, this podcast episode.
And everybody else, hang on and listen too, because we'll keep you entertained. And so will Josh the RV Nerd, because he's a star.
Yeah, of course. But the Florida RV Super Show, I just want to say that that is the kind of show that's the perfect place to go if you don't even know. Whether you want, and, you know, you want a big show for that.
And big RV, everything. Big RV shows can also be intimidating. So a while back, we did a special podcast episode about tips for visiting big RV shows. We will link to that in the show notes. Okay. One of our best tips, we'll give it to you here to give you a little taste.
Yes.
Look for the manufacturer's reps. So at every RV show of this size, or almost any RV show, really, there's going to be the sales guys that are there from the dealers whose job is there to sell the RVs. There will also be the manufacturer's reps. So you might see somebody in a Jayco t-shirt or, a Keystone t-shirt or whatever it is. Those are the people there from the manufacturer. And of course, they're supporting the salespeople, but they're great to talk to because they're often the designers, the engineers, the salespeople behind these RVs, and they know them so well. And they're a little bit less interested in that immediate push for a sale.
Well, I think that they take more of an educational approach as opposed to a sales approach. So we can't tell you how many of our listeners have said to us that that was our most helpful show tip for them. And now our listeners will say, is there a manufacturer's rep that I can talk to?
And I think the way to know to see the difference is that the salesmen are going to have a shirt on with their dealership name on it. And, Jayco or Keystone or Airstream or whoever is going to have a shirt on that says says the manufacturer on it.
Yeah, and just ask. Nobody's going to be offended if you ask to talk to the manufacturer's rep. If you actually
A sales guy might get offended if you walk up and say, hey, I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to the manufacturer's
rep. I disagree because I think that the sales guys are almost relieved to give you the expert on the unit. Because the dealers aren't necessarily the experts.
Well, they might
on every
be selling
unit.
10 different brands.
Yeah, so
the
it's
Jayco
hard for
rep or the Airstream rep or whatever, they specialize in that unit. So you're going to get specialized knowledge and information.
Yeah.
You will also get specialized knowledge and information if you come to the Atlantic City RV Show February 17th, 18th, and 19th. We will be giving seminars on all 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We are not responsible for you if you wander over into the casinos, but if you come to our seminars, we will be responsible for you at least for a little bit and try and help you. We'll be giving 3 different seminars, 12 reasons why RV vacations are better, which RV is right for me, and 10 amazing campgrounds in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, and I keep threatening Stephanie to add more.
We know
to that list.
They all know now.
Not more
of
seminars,
course you
but
will.
More
but now I'm going to have to hold you steady just to show that I have power in this relationship. Like now, if I let you do 12, our listeners are going to be like, "See, he always gets what he
wants." And if we do 11, our listeners will go, "Oh, they compromise."
Oh, they compromise. Look at that—a marriage made to last.
Now, in case you missed this week's episode of Campground of the Week, Casita Dean made his grand return to the RVFTA network. His debut as our Kentucky correspondent.
He did. And he reviewed my old Kentucky home State Park campground. There, I can't think of a better debut campground review for Casita Dean.
This episode hits a sweet spot for me, for you, for Dean, for Kentucky.
I love the Bourbon Trail.
Dean doesn't, love but you do.
Bourbon Trail. Dean is a craft beer kind of guy. So he can appreciate all of the craft beer that's in the area, which is extensive also. But I really love my bourbon, love the Bourbon Trail. I'm alone in this. This isn't a
you
part of our shared.
You appreciate bourbon. Dean appreciates craft beer.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you and Dean.
Oh, and you appreciate barbecue. There's probably some of that in this area too.
All right, now listen. We are going to be doing RVFTA Live, our Facebook Live chat on Fridays at 3 p.m. All right, we're going to kind of follow up the podcast and have a conversation with you about that week's topic, RV industry news, just a good time to kind of chat and hang out at the end of the week. If you have questions you want us to discuss before the Facebook Live chat, just send us an email, drop us a note on social media, whatever.
Yeah, so some of our listeners are saying, I have this, I'm at work and I can't get Facebook while I'm at work. And we understand, no problem. They're like, we can't watch you live.
Turn your cell phone to the bathroom.
So we totally get that. But here's what we're doing. If you reach out to us ahead of time on any social media platform or through email with any sort of question or comment, we will put it in the Facebook Live. I don't know about that week, but like we are trying to get to all that stuff. So here's the thing. We'll talk about it. And then when you watch it later on that night or the next morning, we will talk about your question. And that's the whole point.
Yeah,
so even if you can't tune in live, still send us questions and we'll answer
them. And a key point here too, you can watch the Facebook Live after the fact, just like Stephanie said. You can also comment on it after the fact, and we will continue to look back at the comments and answer answer any comments that come in after the fact.
And we've been doing that. So we go on and we definitely answer any questions that we didn't get to within the Facebook Live short amount of time that we have before we have to run and get the kids. Now, we have one more thing to talk about on this podcast, and it is such a wonderful, you know, just near and dear to my heart project that I want to share with everybody. I talked about it on our Facebook Live chat a couple weeks ago, our very first one. A podcast listener reached out to us about a month or more ago, and she said, her name is Andy, and she said, I love your show, and I love this Tents for Troops RV loaner program that you're trying to raise money for. I don't have the amount of money that I would like to contribute to this cause, but I'm a knitter, and I make knitting patterns, and I sell knitting patterns, and I would love to do a unique knitting pattern for your program, put it up on my site, and I will sell it, and all of the proceeds will go to the RV loaner program with Tents for Troops. And I just said, oh my gosh, thank you so much for just being creative and thinking of this way. So, you know, I said to her, I love it. Go ahead, do it. She came up with this adorable hat pattern. It's called Going to the Mountains. I can't knit. I can't believe I can't make myself this hat because it's adorable. But I know we have a lot of knitters out there that listen to this show. And, you know, if you can knit it, you're going to love this hat.
It's an adorable hat. And I think we should pay Andy to knit one for you and then tack on a donation to the Tents for Troops from us.
Yeah, maybe I can convince her to do something like that.
Because I would like to see you have the hat as a memento of this.
I know. It really
is. Guess where we met Andy?
Oh,
social media.
Yes. So we had no, you know, she just reached out to us and it was so nice of her to do
that. I
gotta
say, it's also kind of funny. She lives really close by.
The second person that we've interacted with, bizarrely, that lives like within 15 minutes. So anyway, I'm linking to Andy's sites where you can buy the knitting pattern. It is $5 for this Going to the Mountains knitting pattern. And she, you ready for this? She's already raised, it's only been out for a week or more, like maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks. She's already raised $100. Like, think about that, just on her knitting pattern. Like, she already sold enough donate $100. Yeah. And that's just within about a week and a half.
And we need to pick up some more momentum for this Tents for Troops fundraiser that we're doing. And the donations have been coming back in after they stalled for a while. So if you haven't donated, go buy that knitting pattern if you're interested, or just make that donation. And where can people donate, Stephanie?
At gofundme.com/RVFTA.
Okay, and then after you donate, go buy some Aquasoft by Thetford. Reward yourself. Treat yourself to some Aquasoft.
Well, Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they've been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 15 years. And
50 years?
Did I say 50?
You just chopped off 35 years of Thetford's history
Thetford, I'm sorry.
50 years. They're ahead of Jayco.
All right, but here's the thing. We want to talk about something that you might overlook when it comes to RV shopping. And you ready for this? The toilet. Did we overlook the toilet when we were RV shopping? Well, you never sat on it.
I didn't. Oh, I have since. But
no, since then, but when we were RV shopping. So we did have a actually particularly wonderful experience with our Thetford toilet.
Seriously, we have a Thetford toilet. It's never broken. It's never gotten clogged. It's never done anything naughty at all. It just works.
Right, but when you think about what you use in your RV, the toilet probably comes in as like getting the, like, that's why people buy.
I thought
buy.
You were going to say if you think about what you use your toilet
no,
for.
No, don't like, think about that. Stop. The point is that you know, the toilet is probably one of the reasons why people buy an RV, right? What do you want to do? You want to stop like camping in a tent. You want to stop using the bathhouses. You want all the comforts and conveniences of your RV. But you know what? Do you really stop and do you look at it and make sure it's the toilet that you want?
And is it a Thetford?
And is it a Thetford toilet? So Thetford has a funny video I saw on their website. It's like they have Thetford University and they have somebody who's walking you through all of the things that you should think about when
fit,
choosing
height,
a toilet
material, flush and finish.
Right.
Now, when you're pondering a toilet, does it have the right flush and finish?
Wait, so the finish is like, is it, there's plastic and then there's the porcelain. But then there's combos. Like there's ones that have plastic components, but then a porcelain top, like so that you have, and there's pros and cons to all of those, right? Like say you want lightweight, you're going to want to go with the, I didn't mean to get into a whole, I don't need to tell you
it's
what the
philosophy
video teaches you, but I'm going to embed
Stephanie's
that video.
Stephanie's a graduate of Thetford University.
Well, I did. I went to the university. I saw this video and I thought, well, we have to, I'm going to put this video into the show notes so that if you need a little RV education on toilets, Thetford has your
back.
The
girl's got a master's from UPenn and postdoc from Thetford U.
From Thetford University. All right. To see a complete lineup of products, you can go to Thetford.com.
And where do they make those?
In Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah. And if you're at the Florida RV show, Thetford's going to be there. So find their booth. Say hey. Say hey, I'm an RV FTA.
And say thank you
podcast
for supporting
listener.
Great RV content.
Okay. Say thanks. Give them a high five.
We'll be back in a second to talk towables versus motorized with Josh, the RV nerd.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are excited to be here for the second time with Joshua Winters, a.k.a. Josh the RV Nerd from Haylett's Auto and RV Center. And we're going to dive into our featured topic, motorized versus towables. But first, we got to pay some bills and thank our friends at Progressive Insurance.
Progressive customers can sign up for vacation liability, an optional coverage that protects you if others are injured around your RV or campsite. To sign up for vacation liability, call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV today for more info.
Josh, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show. You are now officially a friend of the show.
Hi, Josh.
I was going to ask, do I get my official friend of the show status?
Yeah, package should be arriving in the mail shortly.
OTS.
Sometime within the next year, you'll receive a box in the
mail.
We
take our friend of the show moniker very seriously, and we only bequeath it on our very favorite guests. So welcome back.
Yeah, so we're going to break this into two segments. All right. So first, we just want to chat with you a little bit about Haylett's and what you're stocking there and what you're selling there and what kind of year you had in 2016. And then we want to come back and get very focused on motorized versus towable and which might be right for which type of person. So let's start by talking about Haylett's. So like what's going on at your dealership? What are you stocking? What are you selling? What kind of year did you have in 2016?
So good and so much. Every advantage is your disadvantage. We've never been bigger, better, busier. 2014 was our best year as an RV place ever. Historically, we started as a used car place, but when we transitioned over, 14 was our best camper year ever. And then 15 was better than that. We're like, holy crap. You know, we're top five in the state. We're the biggest independent dealer in the state, you know, sitting next to two chains of five or six stores, and we're right up in the mix, and we're the only ones that can say that. And so we patted each other on the back. We nodded, said, guys, we did it. Everyone made 1,000 little sacrifices. And then 2016 comes through and we doubled down and we knuckled down and we made 1,000 more sacrifices. And every single month in 2016 broke records, and we clocked in significantly a best year ever. We couldn't have asked for more.
All right. So like, tell us then a little bit about like, where is Haylett's? What does your RV center look like? What kinds of things are you stocking? I mean, if your growth is off the charts, you know, what do you look like and who's coming to see you?
You would never believe we're as large as we are. We're in small town southern Michigan on exit 13, which is basically Coldwater, Michigan's beautiful, but it's a gas station town. You're 1 hour from literally anything in the world in Coldwater, Michigan, but there's nothing actually in Coldwater except bars and gas stations and a McDonald's. But, you know, everyone's got one of those. That's in a way. Our disadvantage became our advantage. You have territories as dealers, and because we're so far away from the big chain dealerships, we found ourselves right on that edge where we could carry the big brands, the best brands, the ones that have the recognition and the quality and the customer backing. And that allowed us to create our own island nation, in a sense, if you're looking at it like a territorial map. at this point, it's almost easier to name what we don't carry. But, you know, we've got your, let's see, Winnebago towables. We're holding those over from before. Of course, your Jayco, your Cherokee series from Forest River, Open Range or Highland Ridge, as they've become called. I still seem to hang on to the old name. Your Rockwoods, your Coachman ultralights. And last time we were on the show, I kind of gleaned that we've got some big things coming. And we pulled off a major deal, adding both Cougar and Montana to our already stellar Keystone lineup. So we are just thick as can be in the towable side of things.
Josh, do you have the bathtub, that front bathtub? Because I sat in that when I was in Louisville, and that was a pretty nice bathtub.
I saw the photo, and I fought for it. I fought for that floor plan, and I got overridden 4-1.
Oh, no. That is amazing.
I agree, and I believe that with the way that I dig into products and I educate people, I believe that we would have been one of the best-selling dealerships in the nation with that floor plan, because there's so many finite, minute details about that one model that does not exist in the rest of the Montana lineup that just would blow people away if they only knew about it.
Well, if you ever get it and stock it, I want you to get in that tub, and I want to see a picture of that.
We'll repost that
on social media.
And look, you guys carry so many different things. I don't mean to be corny here, but is going to Haylett's almost as good as going to an RV show? In terms of just seeing what's out there,
I don't want to take that as an insult. Where the biggest RV show in Michigan was 210 units last year, we are approaching 550 in stock right now. So you don't have to get a credit check to walk around our lot. You don't have to be escorted by a salesman. You're welcome just to crack doors and peek around. There's no admission fees to visit our place. We just have a welcome, open atmosphere, and our saying is that every day is a sale day at Haylett RV. We don't have to leave our lot to make good deals, and we've proven it.
Do you have hot pretzels, though?
God, that sounds good. This is the second year in a row the people internally at the dealership are doing, we call it our own Biggest Loser weight loss challenge. I actually won it last year, and I've kept the weight off, so I'm actively not participating this year.
All right. So, look, are you guys highly focused on towables? Are you carrying some motorized? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but about 90% of, or 89 or 90% of the RVs sold in the country are towable, and about 10% are motorized. Are you at about those levels, or are you mostly towable?
We are. I was actually doing the math the other day. It's funny you asked that. We're about 2% motorized. And everything else we have is going to fall into that towable market. The biggest reason is just because we are so cross-branded, we've been able to meet the largest demand of the market extremely well. That's where a lot of our volumes come from. At some point, we just ran out of physical space. We looked at expanding motorized a couple years ago, and there was just no physical room on our lot. We have so much in stock. It's so funny because people used to come to our place. We used to be Jayco exclusive, which they're a great brand. Don't get me wrong, but there's you know, little niches here and there that we wanted to fulfill a little bit better. And people come say, "I like your Jayco, but I have to look around." And I understand that. I think you should shop around. And now we have so many brands. People walk out with a list of four or five, and they go, "I don't know which one I like better." So we can't win for losing, you know.
So you have a certain amount of room on the lot, and you're focused on towables. I mean, is that sales are hot in towables, correct? And motorized is maybe a wee little softer, or is that not accurate?
I don't think it's softer. There's a definitive market like you kind of mentioned earlier. It's something we could definitely attack. We didn't used to be this large in towables. We could do the same thing. It's just a matter of we've already taken up that space, and to rob from Peter to pay Paul isn't something we are really interested in doing.
Now, I want to zoom in a little bit on the towable line, because you just said that this is really what you've been attacking and growing in. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think about, we deal with a lot of listeners. A lot of listeners contact us, email us, message us. They're getting into the world of RVing. They're buying their first RV. So we, you know, as podcasters, really interact with people that are in that entry-level market. We always think of it between like $10,000 and $30,000, right? Mm-hmm. But we all know that towables go all the way up to, you know, we've got the $75,000, $80,000 towables. So, like, do you feel like you're evenly distributed on your lot, or do you really see that huge influx of entry-level buyer that we hear so much about in the industry today?
Of course, there's more of those folks. You know, it's a pyramid business. The higher up your price point goes, the thinner that pyramid gets. But the thing with us having such an online presence, and we send and people come to our dealership from all over the place, which, I mean, I've proven there's no such thing as being too far away to work with Haylets. But we bring so many people in that we really have an excellent representation everywhere, whether it's the biggest luxury fifth wheel or the smallest pop-up. We have everything towable. It's incredible. So, of the top 10 travel trailers, just to give you an idea, we have 8 of those brands, and that's only because 2 of those are copycat clones of one another. So we don't need 2 of the same thing.
What are some of those top towable brands you guys carry?
Your number one RV, period, is the J-Flight by Jayco. It's not even close. The Jayco builds and sells more J-Flights than some other entire brands alone. I'm not knocking Primetime, but literally everything Primetime makes put together does not equal the number of J-Flights built. Your number two trailer is your Cherokee from Forest River. That's the number one selling Forest River travel trailer. Not too far from there is your Keystone Springdale. That's the number three selling travel trailer. And that's, you know, just your entry level stuff. We literally have 1, 2, and 3. You can flip over to ultralights. Same thing. Your Keystone Passport, your Rockwoods, you know, your Coachman ultralights, which, those I've, every year they win me over personally a little bit more, and this last year was for the quality of them. They're both the Apex and the Freedom Express were the only two things from Coachman that won the DSI quality awards, and it's two brands we carry, so I guess we sharpshooted that. But you can go up to the biggest fifth wheels. Your number one fifth wheel for years was Cougar. It's sister, cousin, brother, whatever, Montana retook the overall number one slot, but we just added the 2 number ones, and then we have number 3 with the Jayco Eagle sitting there. So I don't care what it is, we have an ABC choice at least, and then maybe like a DEF.
All right, so you just said the word quality a lot in what you were just talking about, so let's pivot. Mm-hmm. Here, you know, going from 2016 into 2017, dealers make a lot of decisions about what they're going to restock or, you know, stock brand new for that year. They made a lot of buying choices over the fall, probably. So in making your decisions about what was coming back and what was leaving, do you really feel like quality factored into that?
Oh, I don't feel. I 100% know. This is something I've mentioned to people before, and I have spouted out in my videos, but I'm what the business calls an SOB. That's the son of the boss. And I help, you know, with the advertising end of things, but my brother is also employed at our dealership, and he's our service director. So I see people coming in the door, but he sees trailers coming in and out of the door. So we get to kind of understand both sides of that very well and kind of report back to, you know, Dad for that. But they're – have literally been brands, multiple brands that we no longer, I'm not going to name names because we had
no,
enough.
No, that's fine. Yeah, we do the same thing.
we had enough mud in the political season, but more than one brand has left our location because of quality issues. We know that we didn't build it, but we still choose to represent it. So that still reflects on us. And we stand behind our name. You know, that bumper sticker on the back of every trailer that leaves our place isn't just our business name. That is literally our family name. That's my family on that. And we take that very seriously.
Now, it sounds like you guys have the towable world pretty wired at this point. If you were to start stocking more motorized, I mean, what direction do you think you would go in? Are we talking Class C's, Class B's? diesel pushers, what would you like to see on the lot if you had that space to push into the motorized world a little more?
Sure, sure. Trust me, we've done the research on that too. We actually just added 4 acres, but we had to use that just as overflow stuff for the severe number of trailers that we have in stock this year. But being a volume-based place, we'd definitely be in that small to mid-size Class C market a lot thicker than we are currently. There's also some, you know, I guess you call it like a mini Class A, but if you start to look at the chassis work, a Class C and a small A are basically the same thing with just a different cab. The the motorized that we have, we're full across the board with Jayco in that regard. They're the exclusive motorized option that we have. There's other great products out there, don't get me wrong. I'm very proud of the Jaycos, though. They've done amazing things in motorized too. But their little Melbourne that they've come out with, which I've been told from some of our friends overseas I'm pronouncing incorrectly. I guess that's supposed to be Melbourne, but I don't believe that'll ever take hold over here.
Yeah, the Americans aren't going to go
Josh,
with that.
Josh, if anyone can make it stick, it's you.
try.
I called myself the RV nerd once, and that stuck. So you get, yeah.
I see a whole YouTube video about this.
Right. Yeah, the names that we pronounce wrong. Your Greyhawk, Redhawk market. That's the heart of the Class C business, and there's so many good products in there that I'd love to see on our lot, but there's, like I said, just not the physical space for it. And it's tough because there are excellent products out there that we don't feature. I'm not one of these guys that believes that we only carry the good ones, and if we don't carry it, it's not worth keeping. There's some amazing things out there, and even the towable market we don't feature, but you just can't have everything for everybody, so we've chosen to do what we can for the largest number of people at a time.
All right, Josh, I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot here with this last question before we go into our next segment. Now, there is so much talk out there about dealership consolidation, right? And it's really, I mean, it can go, like you said, we had enough with the politics this past year, but it can really tend into a very negative discourse about what's going on in the world of dealerships. And, you know, you're inside that world. We're all observers and we just read, you know, what comes out of the industry, you know, newspapers and what comes from other places. But, you know, I'm wondering if you can share your perspective on this. When you are sitting here talking to us about a family-owned dealership and you and your brother have chosen to remain there and you're talking about your growth and you're talking about your success, and I don't hear you saying, you know, we can't compete against these big consolidated companies. Can you just share what you think your secret sauce is? Why is Haylett's different? What has maybe insulated you from the same, you know, feedback we're hearing from some other parts of the industry?
Well, the funny thing, I've had people ask me, we call working dealer relations with dealers in like other markets, so we can speak very openly and candidly. And there's other very good places and people out there. The one thing that always seems to be the difference is just educating customers. I've talked about it a bunch of times. Most of our salesmen go camping. We get it. I don't know how else to explain it. We actually just hired a salesman from one of those consolidated chains that you mentioned. And when he started, he goes, you know, when we were selling against you, it was like maybe 1 out of 10 deals we'd keep away from you guys. You were really hard to sell against. What do you do so different? And I said, ask me again in 2 weeks. And 2 weeks later, I sat down and asked him, I said, do you see it? Do you get it now? He goes, yeah, I think I do. You guys just, you don't hammer on people. You don't make them give you a credit score. You know, the moment that they're on the phone or the moment, you know, you go to look at a trailer, and you guys know your product. You educate people so much.
And let's talk about that education, because I mean, your YouTube channel has really taken off and there's a world of content on your YouTube channel right now. And I'm sure it's hard to measure, you know, what success you're getting that comes directly from people finding you on that YouTube channel, but you are providing education and content. And I'm sure that's got to be bringing people onto the lot and giving them the warm fuzzies about buying something from you because you helped them figure out what they want.
Not instead of trick them into getting what you want them to buy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you watch my videos, I leave you a link to see a price, and we do publish pricing. We're very transparent we're very comfortable to work with. You know, like it doesn't matter what it is. We have the information out there for you. Often I've noticed there's instances where you have more information than related manufacturer sites. But the whole idea is that we try to take down that magic curtain. You know, I don't push, you know, 189 a month, 179 a month, 169 a month. We know that this is an expensive endeavor. You know, let's not lie to one another. So let's find the thing that justifies your hard-earned income. Let's find the thing that you're going to enjoy, and let's do it the first time and not try to push on you the one that I want so that I can resell you something else later.
Yeah, it seems like an operating thesis for you in your YouTube videos that there's no right RV. Everybody's different. There's a right RV for every person, and it's different than the next person. So you really seem like you're trying to find the right fit for your customers, and I think that that's probably really appreciated by them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people – it gets to the point, though, people want to do this so bad, but they're so scared.
Yeah, it's like, make me do it, Josh. They want to be pressured into it, probably at the end. We have people do that with us. Like, just tell me it's okay.
Should I buy one? They just want to hear it.
Well, sometimes some people just need to hear it's okay. But the question I get that I really dislike, and but people call me with this a lot, is which one should I get? This one or this one? And I really don't like doing that. I don't like spending someone's money for them. I'll tell you that they're both really good. If they weren't both really good, they wouldn't be built. 2009 took care of that. There's no superfluous garbage left out there right now. You know, as time rolls on, you can see some of that roll through, but it really doesn't exist currently. The industry is pretty lean and clean in that regard. So this trailer is better at A, B, and C. This trailer's better at X, Y, and Z. Which of those qualities do you like best? And that's the decision, you know.
Now, look, one of your YouTube videos sparked our desire to get you back on the show. And this could keep happening over, you know, the coming years. But you had a nice video on motorized versus towable. And I thought you made a lot of great points within 6 or 7 minutes. So, Stephanie, I just said, look, we often get asked by the newbie, should I get a motorized or should I get a towable? And it's a trickier question than you might think for the newbie entering the market. So we're going to come back after a break, and Josh is going to walk us through that process, motorized versus towable. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment two with Joshua Winters, a.k.a. Josh the RV Nerd from Halitz Auto and RV Center in Coldwater, Michigan. And now we're going to zoom in and talk about motorized versus towable. But first, a sponsored message from our friends at KOA.
If it is too early to get that rig out, but you are still itching for some quality campground time, start your season early with a stay in a cabin. You can keep it simple with a camping cabin, or you can go all out with a deluxe cabin. KOA's deluxe cabins include bathrooms, showers, kitchens, and room to sleep the entire family.
Plus, if you plan to vacation with family and friends that don't own an RV, God forbid, consider having them rent a cabin right next door to your site. And Stephanie and I have done this all the time when camping with grandma or grandpa or friends who want the campground experience but don't have the RV. You can kind of combo the trip, and it works out really well. And KOA's campgrounds are really good at those types of setups.
And we have also used cabins many times over the year when we've been traveling without our RV. Even driving from one place to another, we'll choose a cabin so we can get that campground fix in on our way. So to find out what is behind the yellow sign, visit KOA.com or download the free KOA app today.
All right. Now, Josh, on your YouTube video, and what is the YouTube channel again for, you know, for the five people out there in America that aren't following it already? Where can we find you on YouTube?
Well, if you just type Joshua Winters, you'll see the picture with the word Halitz on there, or you can probably type Halitz RV YouTube and we'd show right up. The channel is actually under my name, Joshua Winters. It was like this is a thing that just happened. I didn't expect it, but I just started I had a Gmail account, so I threw my name on this thing, started uploading videos, and then people started leaving comments and questions. I kept posting, and they kept asking, and it just bloomed.
If you build it, and the content is good,
it's good.
Consistently, they will come. I've said that before.
I believe the content is good because I have literally video trained at least 4 different RV manufacturer reps now. Not a joke. They have actually called me and said, hey, show season was coming up and no one was available, so I watched a bunch of your videos. Thanks.
That's great. So you really do lots of walkthroughs, and our audience, we recommend your walkthroughs to our audience in the past. That's how we initially found you. We thought you did great walkthroughs. But you also started to do some more like general topic YouTube videos where you were attacking an issue or a question that you got a lot from your buyers, your consumers. And one of these was about whether, you know, if for people that say, should I go towable or should I go motorized? And we're just going to kind of walk through some of the tips.
And
that
your video started on a very provocative note. I mean, if you ask me, this could be controversial right away. You say that brand new owners should start with towables. Can you explain what you mean there?
Yeah. If there's so much to learn about an RV if you've never done it. We, as a culture, cars are such a part of our culture. To an extent, we all get cars. We all know that you got to change some oils, and occasionally there's that antifreeze stuff, and I don't know what the other fluids are, but I know that there's things that need to be done. But we didn't all grow up with campers. We don't know how to take care of them. We don't know what they need. And the closest thing we can do is try to relate it to something we know and that looks like a house. It has the furniture sort of a house. They use a lot of the same words, so I figure it's like a house. But it is so not a house. It is its own unique thing. You have to learn how to take care of that before you can start to learn to take care of the fancy version, which has all of the needs, parts, widgets of a car in a camper mashed into one Frankensteinian merger. And you have to know how to take care of this thing properly before you just dive into it. It's such a big investment. And that's the thing. This is an investment, and you have to give back to get from it, you know.
Okay, so you started out the video by talking about that. You said, you know, brand new owners, you should start with towables. And then you said, well, but people sometimes say, oh, I don't want to tow. And you said, you know what? Take that issue off the table. Why should not wanting to tow not be a factor in choosing between these two options?
Well, if you don't want to tow, then you really shouldn't go, I guess is the best way I can say that.
You just came up with a new little jingle.
Right on the spot. Absolutely. And the reason I say that, though, is, okay, you found your beautiful 29-foot Class C with a super slide. You're going to go out. You're going to have an adventure. You're going to go from Michigan to California and Texas. Or I don't care if you go 30 minutes away or whatever. Great. You get there. You get set up. You hook up all the sewer and the water lines, and your TV's going. And we realize that we don't have any food or whatever. You know, you want to go see the local sites. You now have to unhook everything every time you want to do anything? I don't think so. That sucks.
And that's just the beginning of your problem. Because what about parking it? What about driving through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru window in a 29-foot Class A? Not recommended here at RVFTA.
Could not agree more with that. I mean, filling stations, trying to even find a proper gas station is often an adventure in and of itself. But my point to all that is, you're not going to unhook your RV every time you want to go get a can of peas. And eventually, bumming rides from people in the campground is going to get old real darn fast. So you're going to have to tow a chase car, a chase vehicle, whatever you want to call it. So you're still towing. You still have to do that. You still have to hook up and unhook and drag and drop and maneuver and manipulate. There is no advantage in towing versus not towing. There are very slight few exceptions here. I'm speaking more directly to the average everyday consumer, you know, Larry Lunchbucket and Joe Sixpack, the people that still work for a living. If you're full time, you got a diesel pusher and you're on the road, your scenario is completely different. You know, I'm speaking more to the people who are just getting started in this. There are a sort of exceptions in the either like the mini Class C or the big Class B pluses or whatever you want to call them, like the Jayco Milbourne style. Those, I don't see people really towing a lot with those, but those are RVs for people who like, okay, we're not going to a park. We're going to just go park alongside the road for the night, and we're going to be on the road. We're going to be touring. And, you know, full-time driving is different from going someplace and camping. If you're going to go someplace and camp, you're still going to have to tow. And about 95% of people are still going to have to tow.
So now, and that is, I think that's really, you can't emphasize that point enough, only because so many people do have that learning curve where they buy the motorhome and think they can get away without towing, and then they use it for a season and they go, yeah, that didn't work. We didn't like calling a taxi from the campground.
I am shocked at the number of people who think they're going to get a motorhome and not tow. Like, they think they're just going to try it out and see how it goes. They all end up.
I think it lasts one season usually. Yeah, and then they get it.
It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm.
And do you want to make that level of an investment? Because let's not mince words. A motorhome is per capita more than a towable. So do you want to make that level of investment on a maybe I'll like it? You know, again, there's that fear of, oh, I'm afraid of backing up a trailer. Have you tried to back up a giant sailboat? That ain't fun and easy either. You know, there's just so much that goes into it. And it's one of those things that it's so hard in this business to understand it until you've actually done it. But do you want to buy that brand new 2016, 2017 motorhome, go out with it once and go, oh, crap, Martha, we screwed up bad. You are not at an equity point.
This once you've spent the $100K plus on the motorhome, you can go buy yourself a little Honda, whatever people pull behind.
How about two Vespas?
The Honda CRV for you get a used one for 15 grand. It's like milk money.
All right, but let's dive into budget here then. You know, you say the budget is obviously so different, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, the price points just are not comparable, except I guess for the nicer fifth wheels and then the lower end classes, right? Those kind of fall into a sweet spot.
You might see a more expensive luxury fifth wheel than the cheapest class C out there,
right.
Certainly.
Yeah, so.
But is this just all about money? Is it just all about that people with the money are going to gravitate towards a motorhome and people that can't afford it are going to go towable? And guess what? 90% of people don't have money for the motorhome. Is that why the numbers break down that way?
I think it has to do with what I call usage value. I guess in the financial world, you call it return on investment. When you have a traditional towable setup, you have the towing vehicle and you have the RV. Most of the time, the average consumer is using the RV a minimal amount of time. You know, it's an indispensable part of their lifestyle, but it's not an everyday adventure. But
five times a year, according to the RVIA.
Correct. In the meantime, they have a vehicle they're using all the time. So when you split that pot, you're getting a huge amount of usage value out of your rig as a whole of the truck trailer combination, or SUV trailer, whatever it is. Anyway, you get the idea.
So that's a great point. It's a great point. We use the F-150 every day.
Right. And you have your money invested in that, but you're getting to use it. Now, when you have a motorhome, most of the time it sits. So you don't get to split that pool. The whole motorized half of that, the chassis and engine portion, isn't giving back to you. You could say that, well, you're paying for the convenience of being able to drive and navigate. And I get that. But personally, everyone's different. Me personally, it doesn't justify it. It doesn't get used enough to justify that level of investment.
So say that you have two different families who each spent $100K, and one family has an $80,000 Class C and a $20,000 car they tow behind it, right? 20% of that purchase is being used regularly. Where if you have a, you know, $50,000 truck, which is possible, expensive truck, mm-hmm. and a $50,000 fifth wheel, half of that purchase is being used every day. I mean, I love the way you did that because it really does. The rubber hits the road there with usage to
Absolutely.
Some degree.
Most people work a 9-to-5 job and whatnot, and a lot of people are like, well, 5 years we're going to be retiring or something like that. It doesn't make sense to have this giant investment sitting there for 5 years. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Now, Josh, you guys sell a lot of higher-end fifth wheels, correct? I mean, we were on your lot, and you have some very nice fifth wheels. Now, a really high-end fifth wheel still does not compare in terms of luxury and appointment to a really high-end Class A diesel pusher. So that's what just leads me to believe that it is an issue of finance and money and the amount of luxury you want to some degree.
Well, it is, for certain. But if you start boiling down the, like you say, 10% of the market is motorized. Now, if you dissect that into budgets, you're going to find that that big diesel pusher, luxury diesel pusher market, that number of people doing that is minuscule compared to the number of people in the Class Cs, which are roughly the same price point as a fifth wheel.
Good point. Yeah.
Great point. Yeah. And that Class C that you could get for 70 or 80 grand is the same price as a truck and a fifth wheel, really. I mean, right. You know, obviously there are varieties.
Again, if you're talking amenities and appointments, it will not have the amenities and appointments of a comparably priced fifth wheel, because a chunk of that money had to go to chassis stuff that is sitting there. A recommendation I have for people who are seasonal or like snowbird or sunbird from Michigan to Florida or Texas or whatever, instead of buying a truck, get your fifth wheel and then pay somebody to move it once a year. Maybe it's $1,500. But that's a lot less than a $50,000 truck.
So true. Yeah, you just saved a lot of money, right? So, okay. So we just went back and forth a lot about budget, and I think that was really helpful conversation. But let's move on to another point that you made in this video, which was about the level of maintenance. Now, we've touched on this in our show quite a few times over the years, even talking just about winterization and the difference between closing down systems. But just discuss for our audience for a minute, you know, what do you think people need to know when they're thinking about the different levels of maintenance between towables and motorized units?
Well, take everything you do to maintain your vehicle all the day, every day, every month, every week. Now take everything it takes to keep a trailer in good working order. And now add them together and then add a few more things, because it took some effort to combine the two. Motorhomes are very awesome, very fun, serve a very good function. I've been accused of being anti-motorhome. I'm not. I don't think people understand what it takes to be a motorhome person. It's like, if anyone out there owns a horse, you know, I mean, any animal or a home, it's a commitment. You know, you got to love the thing. You have to, you know, keep it clean, keep the seals checked. You actually have to use it more than most people do. I hear all the time someone says, I found a 2000 Coachman with only 8,000 miles. And I instantly go, oh, no, there's something wrong with the engine, because it sat there too long, not getting used. People sit there and they're proud that they have this 20-year-old thing with 11,000 miles. That's terrible. That means it didn't get used enough. The engine didn't get used. The gaskets, the seals.
Uncle
didn't
Joey's lubricated. Been on the couch for 20 years and he hasn't moved. Let's take him out and play football.
Somebody died in the rear bedroom, you know.
So there are hidden expenses with the motorhome, right? And I don't want to turn this into, you know, a negative on motorhomes, but it's more complex and it's more expensive, and I think people need to know that, right?
And that is exactly why I just don't believe it's ideal for a first-time RVer. People who say, I had the old Fleetwood trailer, then I got the fifth wheel, then I had a motorhome, and then I went, you know, as I camped less, I went back to a towable. That's the progression. It needs to be not your first step in the chain.
Okay, so the level of maintenance is definitely higher on a motorized unit. Now, you know, you mentioned something in the video that I thought was very interesting. You talked about how towables are really great for destination exploration. But then you kind of talked about the magic of motorized units, like with vacations. Yeah. You want to go into that a little bit?
And Josh was sitting in a motorized.
Yeah, that's
YouTube
true.
Video.
You picked a motorized.
You look pretty comfy in that motorhome.
I'm not going to lie. I actually couldn't get a good camera angle set up because I don't have someone shooting for me. I was sitting on the step that goes from the camping deck down to the cab level, and like I couldn't find a good place to get. You'll watch me kind of arch my back every now and then. It was really uncomfortable, but that has nothing to do with the motorhome. That was just bad camera placement.
You need to invest, Josh. You need to invest.
I should. I get told that a lot, but I literally am wearing. My winter boots are the same boots that I wore in 2003 in college. I have shirts in my closet from high school. I'm that guy. Back to the topic at hand. I'm so sorry.
I'm just picturing you in a Van Halen t-shirt for personally.
Destination exploration. You can a towable RV to me, well, frankly, any RV, unless you're a full timer who lives in it. Again, that's your home. You're going to be in it. But you didn't get in a camper and drive hours away from your house to sit in the camper. You could have done that in your backyard. Get outside, get some local literature, and find things to do, points of interest, places to eat, anything. Experience the local area, and then come back to your little base camp, if you will. You want to just kind of bounce back and forth and see what's in the area. Don't just relegate yourself to sitting inside. Maybe it rains, but put the awning out, get under the awning, you know, have an experience with it. But with a motorhome, here is the massive fundamental difference between towables and motorized. This is really the key. With a towable setup, your adventure, your vacation begins the moment you pull into your campsite. With a motorhome, your vacation begins the moment you turn the key in the ignition of your driveway. We are on vacation, honey. Hit the music. We're on the road.
Because it's not the same thing that you drive around in every day, right? It's a different feeling.
And you don't have three little brats shoved together in the back seat of an F-150 pounding on each other.
Don't call them brats.
For 10 hours. They're not brats. They're great kids. But everyone has a little more space, a little more comfort. I mean, I think that that is one of the primary magical elements of the motorhome that you're hitting on there. So for the family that has the money and that is going to be driving all over the country or doing national parks from East Coast to West Coast, the motorhome is a very strong appeal.
Absolutely. Yeah, the ability to move freely and navigate. And you can sit down at your table and do stuff while you're on the road. You can look out the window and check things out. You know, when you're in the car, the kids are probably – most people's kids are sitting there looking at a phone or an iPad or something like that. When you're in a motorhome, you're compelled to look out these big picture windows and you're taking in scenery. Like when you're going through Pennsylvania, the hills look like broccoli. It's crazy. It's cool. But you would never just care. You wouldn't care about that in a car, but you care about that in a motorhome. So there's definitely a like you said, a majesty to it.
My last question for both Stephanie and Josh.
Oh.
So if 90% of RVs, 90% of RVs sold are towable, for the non-RV owner, why does the motorhome dominate their imaginative landscape of what RVing is? Like my students at school, when they think of RVing, they think of a motorhome. I think that most Americans, when they think of RVing, think of motorhomes. Why is that?
Do you remember?
Only 10% are sold.
We had to tell our publisher, we do not want a motorhome on the cover of our book. There's always a motorhome on the cover of every RV book out there.
So why does the motorhome still hold sway in the popular imagination when it comes to RVing if it's really not selling anywhere close to the towable?
I think it just has to deal with there's a hood ornament effect here, and I'll elaborate on that. But it has to just go – it's one of the things that's ingrained in our culture from years ago. RV is perceived as a motorhome. Camper is perceived as a towable. When in reality, the phrase RV is very generic. People come in all the time. I remember one guy got all bent out of shape with me. He comes in and he just looks at me and just goes, RVs. And he nods. And I went, yeah. And I nodded back. And he got all kinds of worked up. He's like, well, don't just sit there. Nod. Tell me where they're at. I'm like, we're sitting in a sea of 400 of them. I could literally point 360 degrees and my finger would eventually draw a line to hit an RV. But they think the RV only means motorhome. So it's just – it's a semantical thing. That's the reason. It's semantics. Now to the hood ornament effect, a camper, a travel trailer, if that's just a camper, well, that's just the everyman's rig. You know, I want to be living high in the hog. I don't want to just be any schlep out there towing around a trailer. I want the beautiful hood ornament. I want the motorhome. There is I'm not saying that motorized people are arrogant. Not at all.
It's an American dream
status
thing.
Status symbol.
I don't think that's saying they're arrogant.
There is a status symbol to it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't own a camper. I have an RV. And then they dust off their shoulders and they turn their backs to you and good day, sir.
Right. So the question is it what people hope to eventually achieve in the RV lifestyle?
I still do. I still want to end up in a motorhome at the end of the road.
We'll say.
Yeah, I'm just letting you know right now, you just lost that argument because in the common household, she controls 50% of the finance and 90% of the romance, and you just got overruled.
And I've been getting overruled, and I will continue to get overruled. Listen, it is great to have you back on the show. You are officially a friend of the show now. Josh, tell all of our listeners where they can find you again, both geographically and on that internet thing.
It's an internet thing. Well, on the interwebs, as the kids say. It's very simple. HaylettRV.com. HaylettRV. And I like the ring of that. I'm going to hold on to that. And but no, Coldwater, Michigan, every person from Michigan holds up their hand to point where they're from. If you look right down at your hand where the crease goes right down in the south central part of that, that's us. We couldn't be any closer to Indiana.
It's the end of your lifeline. You're talking about people's lifelines. It's at the bottom of your lifeline. That's where Haylett of RV is.
You're making it sound awful.
I have to say, we were in Michigan this summer, and the camping culture in Michigan was just wonderful to experience. It seemed like there was an RV or a used pop-up camper or an old trailer in every other driveway in the entire state. And it's so in your blood there. And I just loved visiting this summer. So if you get out to Michigan, stop by.
Say hi to
Josh the RV nerd. Thank you so much for joining us again. And we look forward to having you back sometime.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks for having me. This is awesome.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 125 of RVFTA, Towables versus Motorized with Josh the RV Nerd. And thank you so much to Joshua Winters for putting all that great content up on his YouTube site and for being willing to share it on RVFTA. Also, a huge thank you to the Thetford Corporation, to Jayco, and to Campgrounds of America.
And thank you to Progressive Insurance. Before you head out on the open road, it's important to plan your route and pick reliable destinations to stay and visit. It's also nice to have alternate options just in case. Just another way, Progressive has you covered.
Now, Stephanie, did we stack the deck against Motorized in this one? Can we be honest? I mean, we bring on Josh the RV nerd, who's
the king of towables.
King of towables.
Much, yeah.
You and I are towable owners. Did we stack the deck? Are our motorhome owning listeners out there going, they stacked the deck?
No. The deck is stacked. You can't say that we did that. The deck is stacked against Motorized. Why? Because if real budget concerns hamper your purchase in any way, a towable is going to be your choice.
And apparently for 90% of people, that's the reality.
Sure, absolutely. Of course, the majority of Americans have a budget that they're working within. It's just a small segment. Now, some of them have a bigger budget that then allows Motorized to come in, and so they might go with Motorized. But some of those even go with towables. Some of the people that have a $100,000 budget, they go with a towable.
Or you can do like that guy that we saw pull into the Cape Hatteras KOA years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
He had a Class C, and he was towing a pop-up camper, and he is my hero.
Boom.
To this day.
Boom,
hold up,
people.
Dropped the pop-up camper, kicked his kids out of the Class
Teenagers.
C and said, you have a fun vacation because I'm going to have a fun vacation too.
Yeah, that guy is living large and we should all learn from
now,
him.
If you're an RVFT listener and you're a motorhome owner and you think we stacked the deck and we didn't come up with some reasons why motorhomes are better than towables, please drop us a message on social media or
take
us to school. Tell us why your Motorized is better, and we'll read some of those on a future episode.
All right, everybody.
Thank you so much, and we'll see you at
the RV show.
The RV show.
Bye-bye.